Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, sponsored by WebSpy. It's August 16, 2010, and this is episode 255. So today we're going to take a look at the five winning images from the July 2010 MBP and WebSpy photography assignment. We also have a backstory from each winning photographer and a surprise placing for my entry, which was kind of cool. Before we jump into that, I'd like to say a huge thank you to our sponsors, WebSpy, the internet monitoring, analysis and reporting specialists. If you have a Twitter account and a minute to spare, please go to my blog at blog.martinbaileyphotography.com and click on the link underneath the WebSpy tile to the right. That will automatically tweet the message, thanks to @WebSpy for sponsoring the @MartinBaileyPhotography podcast. Or you can just type that in on Twitter yourself if you prefer. To find out more about WebSpy and their products, go to webspy.com/MBP and use the discount code MBPWSY for a 10% discount on anything that you buy. It was a great assignment last month, and the album looks pretty stunning. As we now have five votes, I'm running through all five winning images with the backstories from the winning photographers. In fifth place is Shutter, or Dave Newcomb, with Tunnel of Symmetry. And here's David's backstory. Thanks for the votes. I didn't think I would come close this month because I didn't like any of my images. I first posted an image called Window, which was somewhat symmetrical but boring. Everybody was posting really beautiful images, so I decided to go out and gather more. I got up at 4:30 a.m. on my holidays to shoot a sunrise in a field that usually gets fog. I captured and posted the symmetry image. I liked the image a lot, but I wanted it to be symmetrical. The night of July 31st, I thought I would just have to live with posting a non-symmetrical image when I was called into work. As some of you may know, I work as a cameraman for a TV station in Vancouver. A water bomber fighting forest fires crashed in the Fraser Canyon. On the way up, I went through a number of tunnels, knowing there wouldn't be much to see at the crash site because it was dark and the wreckage was a long hike off the highway. I decided to stop and take a couple of quick pictures of one of the longest tunnels. I tried different focal lengths and framing. I also tried some shots with cars and trucks going through the tunnel, but it was distracting and the light didn't look as good. I did some quick posts and decided black and white looked the best because it highlights the patterns of the lights and the texture of the walls. I eventually found a Wi-Fi hotspot and uploaded the Tunnel of Symmetry image just before the deadline. You can tell that Mr. Nikon and I are twins. It seemed a little too symmetrical, but better than my other images. Well, David, I really like this shot too. I love good quality black and white images, and this is certainly one. I agree that the texture of the walls is really brought out well by the black and white. It works well. I don't think that this is too symmetrical, really. I think it's just off by enough to make it interesting, but close enough to fit the theme as well. Really nice work, David. Congratulations. In fourth place, we have Forrest Tanaka's image, Hand That Draws That Hand. And here's Forrest's backstory. My entry to the symmetry assignment, though I took it the very last day, reflects the very first idea that popped into my head when I first heard the assignment. I spent the month hoping for a different idea because this idea involves drawing, which I suck at. I took one semester of a charcoal drawing class with an amazing professor who took me from drawing horses that looked more like platypuses to recognizable toned representations. But it's still just one semester, so I'm sure experienced charcoal artists out there are chortling at mine. I took the initial photo with my hand and pencil resting on a mirror, converted it to black and white, printed it, and then traced the outline of the hand reflected onto sketching paper with charcoal vine. Then I used charcoal pencils, gum erasers and stumps to make the drawing. I did all this on the last day, so I glossed over parts of it, which explains the fuzzy thumb. I then scanned and printed the drawing stretched vertically to compensate for shortening and make it look more like a reflection. Rested my hand on it in the same position as before and took the final shot. The first idea that popped in my head also included my drawing tools and eraser shavings for some context, but in the end I preferred just having the clean image. I think that there's enough context there. My drawing professor could make charcoal drawings that some of my classmates thought were black and white photos, but people never confuse my drawings for photos for some reason. Well, Forrest, you went to a lot of trouble for your image again this month, and I'm glad you did. I totally love this. I actually did think that the reflected hand was a photo when I first saw the thumbnail, so I'm not sure I fully agree with your last statement. I agree that there is plenty of context here too, although I think that the idea of adding the tools and eraser shavings is another great extension of this wonderful work. As it is though, this is incredibly imaginative and very well executed. Thanks for sharing your process and insight, Forrest. Well, next up, I was really pleased to actually come third myself with my Japanese lacquerware bowls image. And here's my backstory, read by the author. I bought these bowls with my wife during a trip to the town of Joborji in July 2009. Joborji is where I'd photographed the lacquer gathering craftsman for a book the previous year. The perfectness of the bowls caught both our eyes, and as my wife has a passion for collecting tableware, we decided to pick these up, even though they were over $100 each. A week or so after we got back, I bought the red and black paper that I have underneath these two bowls here from a shop where, although it's Japan, there's actually a shop that sells traditional Japanese ornaments and purses and things like that. The idea was to shoot the bowls on each piece of paper separately, but I just never made the time to set up the small studio to do these shots. Before we knew it, a year had passed and we had just moved to our new place, and I now had space to set up some lights much more easily than before, when I had to take over our entire kitchen and could never really leave the setup in place for more than a few hours. Well, because we decided to move in July, I did not really have a chance to get out shooting at all. And it was getting towards the end of the month when I figured that I'd try to shoot something in my new studio space. And I immediately thought of the bowls because, during the move, the paper had dropped out of the tube, the bottom of the tube that I had the two rolls of paper in, that had been put in there almost a year ago. So I also figured that I'd play with the symmetry theme a little and place the bowls on the opposite coloured paper. So the red bowl was on the black paper and the black bowl on the red paper. After shooting this way around, I did switch the bowls around and I kept sort of playing with various things, but I kept coming back to this shot, so I went with this for my assignment entry. Here also is a shot of the setup. I used two constant light sources that I bought years ago. They use small fluorescent tubes and aren't very bright, but for still life work where you can go with a pretty slow shutter speed, they work well. The other benefit, of course, is that you're able to model the light pretty easily, as you can see exactly what's happening as you adjust the lights. In this setup, you can also see an umbrella in the background that I set up to pop some light into the back of the bowls, but I actually turned that off for the shot that I uploaded. It didn't work as well as I'd have liked. I just bought a nice big softbox and boom for this purpose as well, so I'm looking forward to trying that out in the near future. The best thing about this setup too was that I was able to just leave it like this for a few days while I played with the ideas, which was one of the reasons for the move in the apartment in the first place. Anyway, thanks very much for all of the votes. Although years ago I suggested that people don't use their votes on my images because I'm not eligible for the prizes. Since we do the assignments anonymously, I guess it's fine. And it was kind of cool to get some votes. So thanks again. Moving along, in second place is, and I don't know how to pronounce this, Shinehage, or Shineheg, with Sitting in Symmetry. If that's your real name and I've just totally butchered it, I am sorry. But here's your backstory anyway. The girl sitting on the stairs is my sister. We were in London for a holiday this year. Of course, visiting the British Museum was a must, especially when you're interested in photography. After visiting the exhibitions and photographing the architecture, we were on our way out when these old stairs caught my eye. I took a few shots without her sitting on the stairs, but I felt that there was something missing. I asked her to sit right in the middle of the stairs to give the image some dimension. It took a while until there were a few seconds without anyone coming up or going down the stairs. My sister got some strange looks from other visitors, as you can imagine, sitting there for about 5 minutes. Due to the low light situation, I really had to boost up the ISO to about 2000, as you can see in the grain. But I decided not to remove the noise. Instead, I desaturated the colours and put on a pretty strong vignette to amplify the old look the stairs already have. I really like this image too. From a symmetry perspective, I kind of wish that your sister didn't have the bag to one side, but I think it may well have been too perfect had you removed that. I think that the stairs alone build the symmetry story, then the human figure sitting in the middle tops it off very nicely. I did wonder if the image might have been a little stronger if you'd included the top of the statue against the back wall as well, but the balance of the rest of the image may well have been lost. I think the slightly visible grain does add to the image, as does your vignette. It's heavy, sure, but it doesn't look overdone at all in these circumstances. It enhances the image a lot, in my opinion, so I'm happy that you added that. Overall, it's a very nice image, so well done and congratulations on second place. And in first place is Chris, who, from his comments on the forum, I see is a Nottingham lad like me, which I thought was pretty cool. Chris's spectacular image is called Symmetry Collapsed. My wife and I have been trying to see as much of Germany as possible, so we try to take short trips to different parts of the country. Towards the end of last month, I still had nothing for this assignment, but I knew we were heading north to spend 3 days on the island of Rügen on Germany's Baltic coast. I had always wanted to take a pier photo. I had an image of finding a perfect small wooden pier to photograph with a long exposure, ideally with some mist thrown in for good measure. In fact, I bought a 3-stop ND filter specially for the trip. When we arrived at the hotel, we found it was right beside a quiet bay, and running along the shore was a small footpath. I spotted the pier in the distance and thought it looked promising. We checked in, wandered around the village, and then I popped down the shore at about 9 p.m, 15 to 20 minutes before sunset. When I got down to the pier, I was somewhat disappointed to see it was dilapidated, but right away I saw that the decay somehow underlined the symmetry that would have been there. The fallen plank in the foreground and the way the pier appeared to twist back and forth along its length was just really appealing. And the age of the wood gave it a beautiful texture. I set up a tripod, set aperture priority to f11 to try and keep the entire pier in focus, composed and focused, and popped on the 3-stop ND and made a number of 60-second exposures, adjusting the ISO on my D80 as the sun set. As it turned out, the weather was just great and the light was just perfect, cool and blue, with some warmer light reflected off the water further out. The weather was never that good again on our trip. The ND filter helped with the long exposure, but it turned out that the water was already very still, no waves and no tides there to worry about. The water turned to glass and helped by the stillness, I got beautiful reflections of the pier and the background posts, again giving another dimension to the symmetry. Post-processing was done in Lightroom, spot removal to get rid of a couple of bits of sensor dust I'd just never have been able to shift, a little fill light and clarity, as well as a touch of brightness and contrast. The fairly square crop just seemed to work. There was a lot of empty space on either side of the pier, as well as some distracting stalks of grass on the bank on which I was standing. Once more, thanks for all the votes. Looking forward to next month's competition. Well, thank you, Chris. This is a beautiful image. I'm pleased that you picked up that three-stop ND filter for your trip. The glassy water and those beautiful blue tones are simply amazing. The square crop does work well with this image, as you say, and I agree that the imperfect symmetry also adds a lot to the image, as your votes that you received also show. The slightly reddish rust of the posts, or poles, and that hint of warm light hitting the water to the top right really does top this off. As had been said in the past, the only thing that I don't like about this image is that I didn't make it. Congratulations on a brilliant and well-deserved first place, Chris. Well, the July assignment was the second of six assignments from which five entrants that received the most votes across the six assignments will receive one of five prizes that I and our sponsors WebSpy have made available. The prizes include an amazing Sony Alpha NEX5 camera, some X-Rite colour management tools, and my own fine art print and a folio of your choice from my collections. I'll put a link to the prizes page in the show notes. Thanks so much to all of you that took part in this assignment and for those of you that took the time to vote. Remember that the August assignment is Glass of Water and there are 2 weeks left to get your images in. I hope that you have fun and maybe learn something while shooting for the assignment. That's what it's really all about. A little bit of news before we finish. If you don't follow me on Twitter, you'll probably not have heard that my new Canon Image Prograph IPF 6350 printer arrived last Friday, and it's pretty impressive. I'm going to be putting together an episode on that in the coming weeks, probably with an update on how my new home office and studio is shaping up now that I'm really getting settled into my new place. So stay tuned for that. It should be helpful, I think, for anyone that's thinking of setting up a home office and studio, or if you are thinking of picking up a large format printer when we get onto that. So, you know, I appreciate that these things are not for everyone, especially when you see the size of the thing. It's a behemoth. It would have taken up a quarter of my living room at my old place. Anyway, thanks for listening today, and thanks again to WebSpy for sponsoring the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Remember that you can find me on Flickr and Facebook, as well as Twitter, and of course on my blog and the Photography Forum. All links are at the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com, so drop by. I'll see you again next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you just have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.
This is Dave Warner, and I'm the host of the LensFlare35.com podcast. Each week, I bring you interviews with some of the top photographers using digital SLR cameras. They share some of their coolest tips and tricks, techniques, and news about what they're up to. So please take a moment to visit the website or subscribe to LensFlare35 on iTunes.
The Martin Bailey Photography Podcast is a proud member of the Photocast Network. Find this and other great photography podcasts at photocastnetwork.com.